Thank you, Carol. And can I thank you all for giving that song a good go? It's got some beautiful words, hasn't it? It's not the easiest to sing, but it's got some beautiful words in it. So I might well pick it again sometime. Now, I was asked on Tuesday at the prayer meeting what I was going to be preaching on this morning, and I told a half-truth because I kind of said, well, I'm not sure, and that was kind of true, except the passage that I'm going to preach on this morning has been in my mind to preach here since the very beginning of the summer for about 6 weeks. I just wasn't sure what angle to take, and I still don't, so bear with me. And then the other thing I need to say is I have preached on this passage in Nehemiah 8 about 9 years ago here of an evening joint service. So if any of you remember anything I said 9 years ago, then you can get a gold star. But I haven't gone back to that sermon. I've tried to work out what it is that I'd like to bring you from Nehemiah 8. And I'm going to start off with a little bit of background. So the background is, I'm just getting organised. The background is that God has called the people of Israel. He's promised Abraham a nation, a people. Look up into the heavens, count the stars. Your offspring will be as numerous as that. And he's promised them a land, the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And these people are led into this promised land. And they settle. And they go through their ups and their downs. And eventually they go through a major, major down. And they're carried off in exile into Babylon. It's prophesied about, and they end up in exile for about 70 years. And then a new king comes to Babylon and allows them to go back in waves. And as they go back, they start rebuilding. Because can you imagine, they've been away from the place for 70 years. So, and when they left, it was like into exile. So I imagine that the city was sieged and there was lots of destruction. So when they go back after 70 years, there's a lot of rebuilding to take place. They, first of all, they rebuilt the altar, the place of sacrifice, the central part of their worship to God. And then they rebuilt the temple. They rebuilt Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. And then they rebuilt the walls. Finally rebuilt the walls. And at the end of all this rebuilding, they kind of get together for a dedication kind of service. And they're all gathered together. Everything has been kind of rebuilt, restored. And that's where we get to in Nehemiah 8. Let me read to you from verse 5. This is what it says. Before I get here, I should tell you one other thing, really, that leading the organization of the rebuilding, particularly of the walls, but of the other, was Nehemiah, an organizer, the name of the book. And also involved is a guy called Ezra, who is a priest and a teacher of the law. So we get there to Nehemiah 8. This is what it says. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God. And all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. And then they bowed down. And they worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hadiah, Messiah, Jelitha, Asariah, Jozabod, Hananiah, and Peliah, instructed the people of the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and the teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice foods and sweet drinks and send them to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. Then all the people went away to eat and to drink and to send portions of food and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Isn't it a good passage? Can you picture it? All the people gathered, Ezra above them all, reading the word from a central place, like all looking up to the scriptures, the words being read to them. And then it says it to us in this passage, doesn't it? That as they did that, the people who were gathered, they raised their hands in worship. You thought that was a new thing, didn't you? Thousands of years ago, they were raising their hands in worship to God, and then they were bowing down in reverence, honouring God, saying, God, you are sovereign God, and I am not. And they recognise that, bowing down in awe, in wonder. But the bit that got me, and the bit that's been on my mind for a long time, is the crying and the weeping. Are you a crier? Are you a weeper? I have to say, I'm not. Occasionally in anger and frustration I cry, but I'm not someone generally who shows open emotion. I think I've kind of educated myself to be like that a bit for some of the jobs I've had, but these people were so emotional. I would have loved to be there. I would have loved to be crying on that occasion, wouldn't you? Because they've gone through so much. They've gone through so much. And now they're all gathered together under God's word. And I don't know what, well, it says they were reading it all morning, so I guess they got through quite a lot of it, but I wonder which bits were focused on. Was it the bits where God was telling you, you're a chosen people? You are the apple of my eye. Was it the bit where God was saying, I'm going to lead you to a land. I'm going to be your God. You are precious to me. I've called you by name. As I was looking at a few things the other day, this passage struck me. I don't know if they had this read to them. I've no idea, but I thought, wow, it would be amazing if they did. In Joshua, keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Be strong and courageous. I mean, that would have got them a little bit, wouldn't it? When they've kind of been so far away from these words. Yet God had said to them, you're a very special people, but keep my words close to you. As they heard all this, they were weeping. And then, after they've recognised the place where they've got to, after that load of emotion that's going on, they're then instructed, stop crying. Go enjoy, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. In other words, now that you've moved past that bit of kind of bowing down and reverence and emotion, recognize again that I am your God. I'm still your God. I'm still sovereign God over your lives and this people. Put me in rightful place, because if you do, you will go out in joy, knowing you're special, knowing that you're loved, knowing that I've got your lives in my hand. Now you can go out in joy. One commentator said, joy is the settled assurance that ultimately everything is going to be okay. Go out in joy. No matter what's going on in the ups and the downs, go out in joy. In the New Testament, Paul writes, I have learned to be content in any and every situation. Again, Paul knew what it was to have joy and contentment in anything going on, because he knew he was in God's hands. He was loved. He had his eternal life secure through the cross, and therefore he could go through anything with utter joy. That's my message this morning. I am going to go on a little bit long, but that's the key point, that this book should give us resilience and joy. I'm going to take you back. We're on a memory, I think, this morning, aren't we, Carol? You've tested our memories. If anyone remembered that song about joy, apparently it was written in 1971, okay? Now, I'd never heard it before, but you know, it wasn't that long ago. But when I was 10, which was after 1971, and I asked for Christmas for a Bible. I did ask for other things as well. I wasn't that holy that I only asked for a Bible. I did ask for a Bible. I went to Sunday school at Five Ways, which was the best Sunday school in the world. Sorry to all the Sunday school teachers here this morning. But it was great, and I had such a grounding, and I wanted to read the Bible for myself, so I asked for a Bible. And I've shown you this before. This was the Bible that I was given, and I'm giving my age away because it says in front of it, it says Gemma Smith, 1987. So I wrote in it, and I tried to read this Bible, and you can see it's quite beautiful. It came in a gift box, but it was quite hard to read. This is a King James Bible. Remember, I was 10. The words are quite context, but I did my best, and I tried to start reading the Bible. Anyway, I've told you this story before. 2 years later, two or three years later, I was given a different Bible. Does anybody here remember? Probably not fondly, but do you remember the Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade marching band? A few people remember. You might remember having to put like earplugs in as as we went by. Neil Adams was captain. Wayne was in it. Do you remember Neil Adams? He was a local preacher here. He's a minister now. Anyway, don't worry. But I was 12 or 13 and I was awarded, wait for it, you can cheer later, Bands Person of the Year. And I was given a trophy, but I was also given this Bible, an NIV Bible. And this Bible had in it colour features. It had like bits where you ticked off what you read, like a study guide. This was amazing. So 12, 13, I was given this Bible, the Word of God. This was pretty special, wasn't it? Now, I'm going to admit something to you this morning, but my mom is in the congregation. So someone might need to go and block her ears because my parents, I think, for good, but my parents, I think, were strict. Do you know, when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to watch Grange Hill on children's TV in case it corrupted me? I mean, that's strict, isn't it? And also, they had a routine where we had to go to bed at a certain time. Did you have a bedtime where you had to go to bed? And we were allowed our lights on for a certain amount of time. My very clever dad, I'd got my bed positioned in this nook in my bedroom. And above where like the pillows were, Dad even put some white wall lights so I could read. And I had my bed positioned next to the radiator. And in the winter, I would love to curl up with my feet on the radiator, the lights on, reading. I would love that. But there was a certain time that I had to turn the light off. They could see the light underneath the door. Were you in this situation? And you had to turn the light off. This is where Mum can't listen, because there was another reason that I did put my bed where it was, because I worked out, not only could I keep my feet warm on this radiator, but the other side of the curtain, it was light. not because they sent me to bed that early, but because I think there was like a security light the other side of like near Rob, and so I could read as late as I wanted to, and my parents thought that I was asleep. And I used to read the Bible because I'd been bought that amazing book. And it was like hunting for treasure. I used to love to try and find the passages that I'd heard in Sunday school or I'd heard preached on. And if I found them, it's like, oh, I know that bit, or I know that bit. And tried to figure it all out. And I even tried to memorize parts of it. So I'd read something one night, and then the next night I'd try and see if I could remember that and add a bit on. And I absolutely loved, in my teenage years, this kind of treasure hunt of finding out all about the works of God, because they're pretty special promises in that book. And if you haven't discovered them for the first time, you probably don't need to do what I did all those years ago. These days, there are apps on your phone. I'll mention a few in a minute. Bible's a lot more accessible. You probably don't have strict parents anymore banning you from reading late at night. But the words in it are very, very precious and very special. And I felt, when this passage came to my mind, about the people in Nehemiah's time being gathered there all together, weeping at the word, just because maybe they're coming back to realize how precious it was to them, God was saying to me, Jem, I want you to be as hungry for that word as you were all of those years ago. Because if I'm honest with you, sometimes I lose perspective, I get my priorities wrong, I get very busy. And God's word is just as important for me today as it was all those years ago. It holds the way to life in abundance. It offers me life eternal, but also an abundant life on this earth, filled with God's Holy Spirit. But God asked me to draw close to him through his word. And I could, I guess, just take that as a message for me. Gemma, will you go back to hunting for treasure? But that passage in Nehemiah was on my mind for about 6 weeks for this service today at Himley Road. So I don't think that message is just for me. And my encouragement for you this morning is for you to go back to the words that God has for you from his word. You see, this isn't, I mean, I love books, as some of you know, I'm a bit of a fan of books, but this isn't just another book. In here, it's called the Living Word of God. Because in here, God speaks to us. Another commentator has said that this contains a lifetime of whispers from God to us. When we're looking for direction, when we don't know what's going on and we're trying to work out what the next step is, God speaks to us through his word. And whether we're discovering it for the first time, for the 50th time, for the 5,000th time, God will still speak to us. And so I would ask you this morning to go back to the book. And it's not as a going back to school chore. Now, I'm preparing for this week with trepidation. I haven't quite packed my bag. I have got some new shoes. I've got a new dress, ready to go back to school. Don't know about the children. But Sarah's in the same position. Other Sarah probably is, but she's at home trying to catch up on and rest before go. There's things to tick off on a to-do list, isn't there, as we start anew, for some of us, academic year. But that's not what this is. This isn't a tick box. This isn't a chore. God asks us to go to his word as hungry people for delight, for finding that treasure. And you can go to printed copies. What I did a few weeks ago is I deleted my old Bible app from my phone because I wasn't using it very much. And I've put a new one on, something called Olive Grove or something, Olive something. You can look it up. And it will give you daily reading passages that just pop up. So that's good, isn't it? That's one way of doing it. But the internet these days is so full of resources. Going back to the New Testament is a place to start. Reading about the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Reading about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's in this book and it's for us to go back to. Before I finish this morning, I want to take you to another passage too. And again, it's about a dedication. It's a little bit further back in history than Nehemiah, and it's when they first built the temple. David wasn't to build it, Solomon was to build it. And as he'd finished and as he'd built it, again, there was a coming together of loads of people, the people of Israel, a dedication service. It went on for days. And as part of that celebration, dedication service, God spoke to the people. And he said to them, he said, sometimes you'll go away from worship of me. You'll get your priorities wrong. And when that happens, I'll shut up the heavens, the crops won't work, and then you'll come back. And the verse particularly, which I'm going to read to you, related to that, is sometimes called a revival verse. It's from 2 Chronicles 7. And 2 Chronicles 7 says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land, if my people. For those of us gathered here this morning who call ourselves Christians, we are Christ followers. We've been called by name. We are his people. If we humble ourselves, bowing down and understanding that God is God, and pray in earnest and seek his face, partly through going to the word and seeking his face. It then says, then. Don't you love that word, then? Isn't it full of possibility of all the things that God can do? And I have to say, I love this church. Sunday morning is my favourite part of the week. Isn't it great to gather together and to worship? But don't we need that presence that's here on a Sunday morning to go with us into our workplaces, into the village, into the community, for more people to be gathered in? And it says in that verse, if my people, then. Isn't that full of all those possibilities when we get serious about praying to God and seeking his face? It's why I chose that last song. It talks about God stirring our hearts, stirring his church as we seek him and his presence. Amelia preached last week from Acts 2. It was a fabulous service. And she said, if I can find it, I've lost my place. She said, with four E's, didn't she? She said that the Holy Spirit can come upon us and go with us to energize, to empower, to impart, and to edify. You see, what's different to us than those passages in the Old Testament is that we no longer have to go to just a temple to find God. God himself lives within us, accessible to us. His word with us. With the spirit of the Holy Spirit within us, we are energized, empowered, so that we can go into our worlds and pray that God will make a difference. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Apparently, Spurgeon said that if you have got find a person whose Bible is falling apart, it's likely that they won't be. It's good, isn't it? So can we be people of the word with falling apart Bibles, knowing his joy and knowing his presence? Psalm 19 tells us the law of the Lord is perfect. And I like this bit, refreshing the soul. Do you need some refreshment? The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the law are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the law are right, giving joy to the heart. Joy, the settled insurance that ultimately everything will be okay. We sang, Lord, We need your grace and your mercy. We need to pray like never before. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to open heaven's door. Spirit, will you touch your church? Will you stir the hearts of men and women? Will you revive us? Will you restore us? Will you renew us with your passion once again? We yearn to see your glory. Amen. Before we pray, I'm going to ask us to sing a song. Just as reflecting, we'll stay seated, and we're going to sing a song that says, "We bow down and confess that you are Lord in this place." And as we listen, as we sing gently and softly, we don't need to kind of give it our all. As we're singing, feel God's presence and see what he's saying to you about going back to his word, hungry to be changed. Lord, we're sorry for the times when we've not got our priorities right. Lord, we're sorry when we've not hungered for your word. Lord, we're sorry for when we've not sought you and instead worried or gone on the internet or whatever. Lord, this morning, we want to thank you for your faithfulness to us. That, Lord, you don't abandon and leave us. But Lord, you want to draw us to you. And Lord, we want to do that. We want to seek your face. We want to be in your presence. We want to feel your Holy Spirit filling us afresh, reviving, restoring, renewing for all that will be ahead. Lord, we thank you that our days are in your hands. We thank you that you've called us, that you love us, that you care about each step of our lives, and that you've promised to be with us. We thank you, Lord, for all the promises in Scripture. And Lord, as we move into this new week, this new month, this new school year, will you help us to keep hungry for your word, hungry for you? And Lord, will you help us to see amazing things even more? Lord, we ask, if my people, then the possibilities. Lord, we pray that we'll see more of you in the coming days in this place. and in this community and in the places where we spend our days and our weeks. Lord, we ask this humbly. So take us, Lord, and use us, we pray. Amen.